No, four.
Hello, welcome to Como Se Sas podcast. We think this is number four, but it's also 2:17 a.m., so numbers aren't really our friends at the moment. We're back here Tuesday night, Wednesday morning, after spending the day going to the Trelanga Mass show in Querétaro. This is the name pronunciation podcast as well. We didn't do a podcast last night because we got in what I thought was going to be was a late time on Tuesday, on Monday night, Tuesday morning, but it's pretty much the same time now if we have done the podcast yesterday.
Yeah, it was like an hour, it might have been an hour later yesterday.
Yeah. Yesterday we also actually didn't go to any shows.
No shows yesterday.
So
we had fun anyways.
We had fun. Probably a lot to talk about. Yesterday we met with Titan because TKD had talked to him for a while on Facebook and wanted to give him. You got a mask from him? Is that correct?
About 6 months ago, he sent me a mask and he forgot to sign it. So I told him, okay, don't worry about it. I'll bring it back when I come to Mexico in September, and so meeting was arranged Monday at 12:30-ish. Yeah.
Yeah. Titan met us around the area of Mexico, and we talked for a while, and he took us to his favorite tourist stand. Pronounce that one right. And we had lunch there.
Tortas tatas.
While we were eating there, and while some of us were talking to Titan, other people spotted that there were other people there grabbing food.
Fucking gringos.
Yes, it was Jennifer Blake. And a person who looked a lot like Australian Suicide, if Australian Suicide wasn't wearing a mask. It's really tough to tell.
I actually didn't notice them, because my back was to them. But Cecilia tapped me on the arm and's like, pointing. What do you want? So I turned around and I actually noticed Australian Suicide first. Because I've seen his Instagram where he posts unmasked pictures and everything. So I went to say hi to him, and that's when I noticed that Jennifer Blake was standing with him. Even though, as Cubs pointed out afterwards, she was wearing a jacket that said AAA Jennifer Blake on it.
Yeah.
So I'm not very perceptive when it comes to that. But I introduced myself and we just talked to them for a bit. Cubs didn't come over, didn't want to talk to them. But I don't think he noticed that I was. You didn't notice that I was.
I did, but I just didn't. I was still talking, listening to Titan. Because, so it was weird between Titan, one conversation, and Jennifer and Suicide and the other conversation.
I got the easier one because I got to speak English.
Yeah, much easier. I kind of.
They said they just arrived back from Cancun, and they were just grabbing a bite to eat. So it was amazing that it's just coincidence, because we would have never ran into them if not for the fact that we met Titan and went to eat at that place over there.
Although Titan pointed out that a lot of wrestlers live in that area and work at a gym nearby. Mm-hmm. And so that helps your odds. If you're bored in Mexico City and want to meet wrestlers, wandering around the Mexico area is not your worst bet.
Exactly. Nothing much from the conversation there. Just very nice people.
Yeah.
They took pictures with me.
You handled yourself well without giving away your secret crush.
On Ryan Rollins?
On Ryan Rollins, yes.
Exactly. And he actually marked out for meeting me, because I guess he's seen my videos, which was pretty cool for me. Yeah. And he had a Ramones t-shirt on. So if you're listening, O'Connor, Newfound Glory rules, Ramones suck.
So we talked to John. We got to take pictures with him, although we didn't take pictures on the street because he didn't want to give away his secret identity. So we went back towards inside of his apartment lobby, and he was very nice. He spent a lot of time with us, I think more time than I was expecting for him to spend. And he talked about all sorts of stuff about
Loves U.S. indie wrestling.
He loves CZW.
He got into wrestling like watching video clips of CZW. His favorite wrestler was Ruckus.
Yeah.
That's where he got the walking on the hands spot.
Yeah.
And how it always used to be a dream of his to wrestle in CZW.
Yeah. He talked about he likes hardcore wrestling to a certain point, that if you got to do it like once a month or so.
He showed us the scars he had from when he used to do it.
Yeah. He doesn't want to do it all the time because he doesn't want all those scars. But
super nice person.
Very nice. Very kind person.
What did you think of the experience meeting him?
I've been talking to him on Facebook for probably a year and a half now, and he's very nice guy, and he comes across that way, but meet him in person, completely different, it's another level of experience there. But yeah, he's very nice. He also wants to try to meet us again at some point while we're still here, so we'll see if that can happen.
Yeah.
He was surprised. I screwed up. I told him about the Observer Awards, and that he finished in the top 10 for high flying. And after explaining what the Observer is, what the awards are, why anybody gives a shit about any of that, he was actually amazed that people outside of Mexico actually are aware who he is, and gave him some recognition. It turns out, Cub showed me afterwards, he wasn't top 10, he was honorable mention.
So that just means everyone has a vote for him this year, so if we come back, we can show them, show him the 2014.
But I'm just going to explain that honorable mention is top 10.
Yeah.
It's part of the top 10. Can we talk about where he lives and the situation there? That's not a secret or anything.
No, I think we've talked about that before.
Yeah, he lives right next to Arena Mexico, in the same place as guys like Guapito, Triton.
Mascarada has a place there.
Mascarada has a place there. And the place, the building, was actually owned by the original Místico, now Místices. And he sold it, though, so somebody else owns it now. But basically a whole bunch of luchadores live in there.
Yeah.
And it's a nice place.
Yeah.
Just your regular apartment type, you know, setting.
From there, we went to the other side of Arena Mexico because we had to catch Valiente because he was heading up to Puebla for...
They have a bus that picks up, or a van.
A van. A van that takes the guys up for the weekly shows there. They were leaving Monday even though the show's not on Tuesday. I couldn't decide if it was because it's an early show on Tuesday or the CML just is used to running the bus on Monday and didn't feel like changing it for the holiday season. But Valiente met us there, and we got to talk to him for a couple minutes. I have no recollection of what said, but he was very nice.
He just signed a couple masks.
And I didn't faint.
Yeah, nobody fainted.
Yeah.
Everybody, I survived Jennifer Blake, he survived Titan, you survived Valiente.
Yeah.
Yes.
Cub survived, Rey Scorpion.
Yeah, we ran to Rey Scorpion. There was obviously a whole bunch of CML guys hanging out towards one end of the parking lot, but Rey Scorpion was the unmasked guy that we found. So we felt safe going up and talking, just saying hi to him really quick. I think it looked like he had a flash of recognition when you said that I was Lucha Blog, so he may have known who I was.
Yes. I would bet his son knows, because I know his son tweets for him in English.
Yes.
And I asked him if he speaks English, and he said no.
Mm-hmm.
So I would bet that it's his son who does the tweeting.
Didn't we hear last year that he speaks English?
Though? Yeah, we did.
Okay.
Maybe he was just kayfabing us.
Yeah.
And we were to see in the parking lot... Were you able to...
Who did we see in the parking lot?
Terrible.
I never saw Terrible.
He was passing by?
Yeah.
He did not lose to anyone while he was in the parking lot.
No, he survived.
And then
from there...
We went to the Korean barbecue, which was nice, but it's not very luchador-related. But I haven't...
What was a picture of Liger up on the... Wall?
And it was Ultimo Dragon.
Oh, sorry, Ultimo Dragon.
And it was really Haji O'Hara was the big star.
Hajime O'Hara,
Yeah.
It's a Korean barbecue with like pictures. They put up the pictures of all the famous people on the wall.
Yeah.
And the big picture, dead center in the middle, is Unmasked Ultimo Dragon.
Yeah.
Back when he was much younger.
Looks more like Yoshihiro Asai.
Yeah.
Bad jokes. And then we went to Black. We went to...
We're just spoiling everybody's identity on this. Ryan Rollins, Australian Suicide, Randy TKD, Ultimo Dragon Asai.
That's what I do. I just kill things on my website. We went back to Black Terry's house again. We exchanged some DVDs.
You spent 7 hours there.
I didn't keep track.
It was 7 hours. I could have stayed there for 7 more.
Yeah. You were showing him every shoot you could find on the YouTube.
Yeah, it was funny. How did we even get to watching shoots? We were first we watched PWG Six Man with his father, Black Terry, which was amazing
because
I love the match. I've watched like 15 times.
Yeah.
But,
that was
it was
the
Bucks
young
and Steen against Fox, Swan, and Ricochet.
Yeah.
And all six of us watched it. Noriko was there, too.
Yeah.
And
Noriko's pretty much our fifth person in our group right now.
Yes.
Yeah. How did we get to the shoots? We got to the shoots because we watched somebody... We were watching Dragon Lee and Star Jr. against Impulso and Belial from Memes Fest last week.
Yeah.
And we were talking about, like, stiff strikes and all that. And then somehow we got into watching shoots, so... We watched like all the famous Akira Maeda kick.
Yeah.
We watched
Inoki versus Gran Antonio.
That was wacky.
We watched
Great Sasuke kick the shit out of Dirt Bike Kid.
I think that's where it started. I don't know why it started there.
I brought it up because they never heard of it before. We were talking about Japanese wrestling. Because
we were looking at different magazines. Terry has a whole bunch of encyclopedias
and then Noriko never heard of the situation where Great Sasuke beat the fuck out of that kid.
Yeah.
So I showed it to her. Yeah. We can watch YouTube on TV. It's cool.
And yeah. We had an exclusive too.
What's that?
The short
film. Oh yeah, we saw, what was Zerante? Zerante. The film, there was that trailer that turned up like maybe a month ago, a Black Terry in the movie, and it this was a short film where he gets kicked out of Lucha Libre and comes back and kills everyone, basically, as an avenging angel. And at the end, he's a little angel as he goes up to heaven. So
there was a lot of symbolism fantastic. Of religion in this movie.
Fantastic. I loved it.
It was very good, and it had a lot of amusing IWRG cameos.
Unmasked wrestlers that we can't name, but
yeah,
I think if this
but
movie.
But we also saw Apollo Shraw at the street fight lose badly. Yeah.
I liked when he got shot and just
Cerro got shot too. Yeah. That was bad for him. Yeah, Black Terry in the final confrontation. Not to spoil a movie that's not in release right now, but I think he gets shot at least two times, gets stabbed, and gets shoved out of a window that's like three or four stories up, and then he gets back up.
It's the worst selling you've ever seen since Thunder.
Yeah.
It was I think this could be a cult classic if it ever sees the light of day.
Yeah.
It's only about 25, 30 minutes, maybe, at least. Yes.
But I loved it. Must see.
Yeah.
And then we exchanged more DVDs. He gave us all the posters that he's been collecting.
Yes, very nice of him.
Okay, who had their first pozole ever in their life?
I think I did. I think I might have. I don't remember if I've ever had it before. But it was
what's
good.
A pozole?
Delicious.
For the people who don't know, what is a pozole?
Pozole is sort of like a chicken broth. It can have pork too, and basically you can season it. This, you know, Terry's mom was kind enough to do it without chile, so that everybody could put as much as they wanted. You put lettuce, onion, chopped onion, lemon if you want. It's pretty good.
But the central ingredient.
Hominy.
Yeah, hominy is basically.
And that's why it's called pozole. Because the hominy is pozole.
You know how people, when they download Observer Radio, they put a they ask for timestamps?
No.
This is like our UFC timestamp. This is food discussion.
No timestamps. Well, Black Terry and his wife were very, very kind, like they were last year. They went way out of their way, especially when I broke a glass, which I think I might have done last year, too. Which is just, I don't know. Very sad.
Terrible, man. Terrible. You'll never be invited back.
I shouldn't be.
Anybody wants to come with me to Mexico next year, just let me know.
Yeah, because I'm just not going to be able. I'm not going to be allowed in the country at this point. And nor should I be.
And the rest of the night we just spent at the table bullshitting for about 3-4 hours.
Yeah.
While Cubs and Randy kind of dozed off in the
middle. No, I never dozed off. I just was trying to listen to the conversation.
Just tune out.
Yeah.
But Randy said it got hard. As the night progressed, it got harder and harder to keep speaking Spanish and understand Spanish.
See, for me,
especially Noriko, because she has a bit of an accent speaking Spanish, so for me to decipher that at both levels, it's like, and she talks fast, too. So, for me to decipher that, it took too much brain power by the end of the night.
My favorite story of the night was the one we actually can't tell, but we're going to, you know.
Oh, this is a good podcast story.
Cover your ears, Cecilia. We're going to cock tease them, like last year, when we tell stories that they can't hear. But we found out about why Diamante Azul is never going to be allowed back in the country of Japan ever again.
Yeah, the matches weren't the problem.
The matches were not the problem. The person and his habits were the problem.
Yeah, the matches were just this.
The matches were just an extra bonus shit on the whole story.
Yeah. So, we got back late.
You have a favorite story? There were so many.
There were so many. And when Randy says he couldn't get the Spanish after a while, I don't have the while there. But there were.
So then why don't you just tell them about our Grand Theft Auto car ride back?
Oh, yeah. Our taxi driver. I mean, all taxi drivers and all traffic in Mexico City is strange. The way we got. When we came back from wherever we came back from today, that I can't even remember.
He took back roads. That's why we got here so quick.
No, but I mean. When we came back from early Mexico on Tuesday, it was strange because the streets were closed down, so you had to all do a bunch of weird things. But the one Monday night was just insane because the red lights were kind of optional to him. Warning people before he kind of ran into them backwards was optional to him. It was just like no traffic laws existed at 2 a.m. or 3 a.m. wherever we were driving. And we were just happy that we didn't hit anything, or no one hit us, or no one got hit, because all those seemed very possible during that trip.
And this is the first time, I think, ever in my life, I gave no tip to the guy.
Yeah.
You know, he could have killed us.
That's shameful. That is shameful.
I'm very sorry,
buddy. I had a blast. That was so much fun.
Yeah.
When we went up that hill, and then we came down flying in the air.
Yeah.
That was the best.
The other thing I noticed about Mexico City traffic is people like to accelerate on the side of streets. Some people, sometimes cities, you just go slow, but if they just feel like they might have an opening, they're going for it. It's very different.
Wake ups were saying as I was going on, it was very much like Peruvian driving.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was awesome. The guy today was pretty fast too, actually.
Yeah.
Making good time.
Yeah. But I think this time it was easier because those roads weren't as closed.
Yeah, they were having the most fun because I was the one in the front.
Yeah.
You know.
So today we woke up after that. Some of us woke up a little bit earlier and had breakfast with Hetchicero's
girlfriend.
Wait, let him try to pronounce it.
Novia. Oh, her
name.
I don't have that in my notes.
Oh, no name? Okay, no name.
No name.
Okay, but I met her just before we left for the other stuff, and she was very nice, very kind. We talked about Hetchicero. He does not get to go home much at all. And she does not get, her job does not let her come to Mexico City much. So for the last year or so, they haven't been able to spend much time together. They've been separated by that. And at one point, she was going to quit her job so she could come to Mexico City just to spend more time with him. But they gave her a big raise to the point where she cannot really, it would be silly for her to turn that down. So they're making the best of it that they can right now.
That's super nice too.
Mm-hmm. After the conversations I had with Noriko today, they sound like the happiest couple in the history of the Chilean.
So we talked to her. We went to Krispy Kreme, which is right next to her hotel, and then we went to the
more food talk. Come on, Meltzer.
No, and then we went to the bus station in the north of Mexico to meet up. To meet up with everyone for the bus to the Chilango Mash show at the location whose name I'm going to carefully avoid at this point because I'm tired. Everyone slowly trickled in. I think we were
Wait, Querétaro?
Yes, that
Querétaro.
Yeah, mismo.
You know what? As an extra bonus on this podcast, on our last day here, I'm going to get you to pronounce every place we went to that you couldn't pronounce.
That'll be the least
and
listened to podcast
And you're
going to
get it, and it's going to be amazing.
You know, if we want to do stupid ideas, we need to do them after the or in, on the anniversary show, because people actually listen to that one.
That's right. So. I doubt anybody. At this point, considering the topics we've covered,
you're all done. You're like, I really wanted to know about the Schillinger Math show, but it's been 18 minutes
basically,
already, and he's just these people are completely rambling. So
yeah, basically, who's left now? Mark Cole.
Mark
Cole. Maybe Bill and Kid Zombie.
And I think Jeff Hansen has turned out by now. So
oh, definitely.
Yeah, he's done. He's completely done. So we met up with everyone there. Everyone trickled in just pretty much on time. I think Fulgor, one was last.
It's hard to know who trickled in because you don't know who these luchadors are without masks.
Oh, but they usually shouted their name when they got close, they spotted them. So
it wasn't the whole roster that was on the bus. It was like... most of the guys, I mean, Trauma came by himself.
Yeah.
Arrow Boy came by himself, but then came
back
with us.
Yeah.
And the local wrestlers from Querétaro obviously were not on the bus because they were there already.
And Jose Manuel was happened to be in
from Tercerica,
happened to be in town, so he. That's why when you see a footage of that show, it's because he just happened to be there. He didn't seek out that show, but it just kind of worked out that way.
He almost dropped his camera twice during the show. I saw that.
I didn't see that.
The bus ride there was completely fine. We were warned that, you're going to hate riding on a bus with luchadors. They're going to be loud and drunk and annoying.
Yeah.
But the bus ride there was completely calm. We even watched a WWE Studios movie on the way there.
Yeah, the one with Halle Berry, whose name I cannot remember.
The call.
I liked it until the ending. The ending was kind of...
That they left. Spoiler! That they left the guy to die.
How many people are watching WWE Studios?
Yeah, spoiler for a 3-year-old movie.
Yeah. Is it 3 years old?
No. Let's look at IMDb right now and find this out. No? So yeah, that was good.
They catch the guy and they leave him alone in the basement
to die.
Because he's apparently to die, but I mean, it could lead to a sequel.
Well, no, I think, you know, you could also read it as that they tell the guy that they're going to do that, and then they're going to go, yeah, why are we discussing this?
Well, I just want to say, I like how they had the pretty girl in the movie.
Yeah.
And then they basically had her in her bra for the last 30 minutes of the movie. Yeah. That was like the big, like...
there was no accident.
I don't understand why she was running around in her bra after she was saved, okay, by another female.
Maybe it was ripped up. I wasn't paying that close attention.
There's nothing else to cover up. They just had her running around in her bra for no reason. I'm not complaining. I'm just saying, like, it makes no sense. I mean, no wonder it's a WWE Studios movie.
I'm not going to debate the logic holes in the call.
It was in the movie up until the ending, though.
Okay.
I will say that. And a lot of the wrestlers, it was funny, they were watching it. Because the bus driver, after we made a stop, he just came back and started to drive, and he didn't press pause for the movie.
Yeah.
And some of the wrestlers were actually yelling to play the movie.
Yes. It was a good point.
It was in Spanish.
Yeah.
It was dubbed in Spanish, and it was subtitled in English. So
yeah.
It was, different.
Yeah, I was completely lost.
Yeah. And then we got there about an hour before the show, I'd say.
Yeah, this is like I tweeted, this is a U.S. indie wrestler's dream. You get to a venue, the ring is there, the chairs are built into the arena, you have nothing to do except show up and wrestle.
Mm.
There are so many wrestlers that would kill to have that as, like, their career.
Yeah.
Instead of actually having a ring crew.
It's a full, it's a full-time Lucha boxing arena. They had the ring set up. It could have gone for either one.
Very old-school arena.
It was... It's and very loud too. I mean, it took about if 20 people started chanting, you could just hear the echo of the sound going back and forth, and the whole place would just feel loud. I can't imagine how it would be if it was a full crowd.
Yes.
And back in the old days,
that'd be crazy.
Yeah, it would have been kind of amazing.
They had the top section like tarped off because Black Terry wanted to go take pictures.
Yeah.
But they wouldn't let him up there. They had it tarped off, but in a full arena that could easily hold. Maybe 3,000?
I think it's 4,000. I've seen 4,000. I think when I had Dr. Lucha look that up, he said 4,000.
Dr. Lucha tweeted me during the show when I sent out a picture of the arena saying, oh, look at all those empty seats. But the amount of fans that were there for this show made more noise than when we were at Arena Mexico on Friday,
yeah.
And there were way more people there. This was a really loud crowd and a good building for sound, like you said.
Yeah, and I think most of the people, it was more full in the... In the numbered areas and the more expensive tickets and the cheap tickets. That makes sense.
Yes.
So
that's how it usually is, I think, with Chilanga Mass.
Yeah, I think Chilanga Mass draws they draw hardcore fans who really know their wrestling and want to see certain guys. And they also drew a lot of people who like their local wrestlers and wanted to come out and support them. And
the local wrestlers had a ton of support there.
Yeah. They even had glitter or confetti for one of the matches.
Yeah, and they even had the drum. I don't know if you ever watch Arena Querétaro, but there's this guy, like the pyrotechnical. They always have the drum going, and they use the drum to beat up... who used the drum? Somebody used the drum.
It was
in the Traumas Drabek match, I think.
Yeah, it was... I think it might have been Steve Payne who took the drum.
Somebody took the drum right to the head. It was a cool spot, though.
So, we ate at a little restaurant right next to the arena before the show.
I don't know what the name is.
It was someone's snacks. I forget what it was. Carolina Snacks.
It's basically like right where the arena is, basically.
New place.
Yeah. And I had a hamburger. Everyone had food. I'm not going over food again.
We're moving on. But we did sign the wall because the guy asked us to.
Yeah.
So since our group was there, he got signatures of American, Canadian, Japanese.
Yeah.
It's pretty good for a store that just opened in the middle of nowhere, Querétaro.
Oh, yeah. They were talking about how there isn't that many shows going on right now, but they were hoping for more, and they had the poster up for the October 15th AAA show. They didn't have the lineup up, but they had an advertisement.
It's
up.
Not TV though.
The doctor we were talking with said it was not a TV card, but they were hoping that Alberto Del Rio would be on the card.
The doctor we're talking about is a fan who, if you look at Black Terry Jr.'s Flickr, he's at like every show.
Yeah,
he's a bald guy with a mustache. He looks like an exact clone of a famous Mexican actor.
Yeah.
Casasola.
Okay, I wasn't going to remember that. Casasola. If you look that up, you'll see his picture and you can compare it to, like, Terry's photos. This guy goes to every show.
Yeah.
While we were talking, he even knew about some AAA show that's taking place tomorrow or later today. that we didn't even know about.
Or
he offered
Saturday
us,
one, too. That was a Saturday one he brought up.
No, he brought up today. That's the one that we were going to go to at like 8 p.m. He didn't know the lineup. He just knew that like Park was going to be there, Tecano, Fantasma, Psycho Clown, the Minis, the Women. And we're thinking about going, but I don't think it's going to work out.
Tomorrow.
I don't think the schedule's going to work out.
So, show started.
No, Saturday, what you're thinking of is there was a show on Sunday, WMC.
Oh, yeah, that got moved.
They got moved, so now we're going to go to that on Saturday.
Yeah.
Where we're going to see Atlantis or Ultimo Guerrero without a mask.
For the
Before we see them the next day.
And we're going to see them for the first time unmasked, and then the next day we're going to see them for the first time unmasked.
Yes.
So that's pretty...
We're going to see the same finish probably twice in a row, I would
guess. But the WMC shows look decent when I see them on... When they do recaps of them on the sites.
Mm-hmm.
So that should be interesting. And they have a decent lineup.
We get to see a couple guys twice because the Criminals and Flystar.
Yeah, we're following around the Criminal Boys at this point.
Yeah.
We're like the police at this point. We're following around the Criminal Boys. The show started...
First of all, we should thank...
Oh, yeah, we need to thank... Strong Mass for getting us right
on the bus.
Letting us on that bus and helping us get front row tickets for the show.
Yep. Treating us very nice. Nobody was mean to us.
No,
all the wrestlers were super nice.
Yeah. They were friendly. They talked with us, especially the ones we had talked to before.
Sure.
I think Steve Payne mentioned at one point he was happy that there was someone else on the bus who spoke English.
Yeah, after he kayfabed me and didn't want to take a picture with me.
Yeah, he was mean he kept in Rudo mode during the match and after
the
match.
It's nice to see wrestlers who still act like Rudos. So then, how many people would you guess were in the building? Maybe 400? Maybe?
Maybe around that much.
I could be way off. It could be much less, but I don't know.
I should have asked Danny, or I should just... I was going to ask him if the official attendance was 97,339.
We should go with that. 97,000 people were there.
Yeah. It was a small 97,000.
It sounded like 97,000 at some points. It was really loud.
So the opener was supposed to be a tag team match, or it's showing a mask, so their opener is whatever match it ended up being the opener that day. But the first match was how do you pronounce it? Ragda. And Hormiga versus Ursus and Optimus. The last two guys are local guys. Optimus wasn't there for whatever reason, so it became a three-way.
Yep.
With the two Mexico City guys pretty much double-teaming the local guy most of the match.
The crowd chanted for him a lot, for the Ursus, the Querétaro guy.
I thought it was an elimination match, especially when Ragda ended up sitting in the crowd while Hormiga did a top rope elbow drop on Ursus.
It was weird because like they did a dive, and then Ursus hit the ropes and Ragda tripped him.
Yeah.
But then Ragda made no attempt to get back in the ring.
No,
just let Hormiga beat up Ursus and pin him.
Yeah. So I thought, well, okay, maybe he's waiting to get in. But no, that was the end of the match.
I wonder if maybe it was a screw-up or something. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Ragda didn't look like he was leaving or anything. He was just standing there.
Yeah, he looked surprised. Or maybe they were caught off guard by being a three-way match and they didn't have
a
finish.
There's nothing wrong with the match, though. I mean, it was a perfectly fine opener. They didn't blow anything. They did some really creative three-way spots at the beginning of the match, including, like,
was the three-way cradle, like a two-way...
The two-way cradle, exactly. Yeah, so you saw it, too. It was perfect. It was like a sky-type roll-up.
Yeah, you see a lot of, like, triple, double headlocks and those kind of things, but I've never really seen that cradle done before.
That was new for me.
Randy,
Cecilia, any thoughts?
The crowd was very much into the match from the beginning, so it was a good way to start the show.
And we were there about like maybe an hour before the show was supposed to start, so it's not like they had a lot. They were working out in the ring to get the matches together or something.
No.
The second match was Ares and Belial.
Ares and Belial. I should do the match, the listings.
Yeah, versus Alex Guajardo. Yes, you should. And Lobo Lafayette.
Alex Guajardo. Like Rene Guajardo.
Okay. Both of those.
I'm just helping.
But the second two are also local wrestlers. That I know Alex has been on a lot of DTU shows, especially when they come to that arena.
Wow, I didn't even know. When he looked like that, I was expecting someone totally different.
Yeah, and then Lobo is, I think he's the son of one of the regulars. I think it's a Dragon de Orantes. I know, because they had a match where the fathers faced the sons recently, but I forget who's who.
I've only seen him in like Lucha Libre de Mexico on YouTube, uploads local shows from Querétaro.
Yeah.
LLQ.
Yeah.
And I've seen Lobo Lafayette in matches there.
He's very raw, but I think if he was working more often, he'd be pretty good.
He was fine. I liked what I saw.
He was good. It was just that the Chilene, the Indie Struck, what is it, their name?
They're Indie Strong.
Indie Strong Tuctables
or something like that.
Yeah.
Basically, it's a play on Indestructibles.
Yes. But I think they were the better team easily.
Oh, by far. They're very talented guys, Belial and Ares.
I actually I was thinking about picking up the shirt, but maybe we'll see them later at Exo Marcus or something. Yes.
I didn't even know their shirt was on sale. Was that kid selling it?
I don't know if they were selling it. They were wearing it, so that's why I thought about it.
The referee was El Chiquilin.
Yes.
And his son, who looks exactly like him, it's creepy.
It's less a junior and more mini.
Yeah, it's like a mini of the referee. It's crazy. Kept walking around a ringside selling stuff, backpacks and hats. But I think that was just Impulso stuff. Or no, Hormiga.
No, he was selling, was it Psycho Kid's hat?
Psycho Kid's hat.
Crazy little things. But
he sold two of them. He had three. He sold two of them. Psycho Kid was happy with that at the end of the night.
It's ingenious, really. You get a cute kid to walk around selling stuff during the matches.
And he gets something to do after making the whole trip instead of just sitting and watching the matches. He was working harder than we were working. There was that one spot with like a mad scientist bomb into a splash.
Awesome.
That
they
was crazy.
Always do that. Yeah. It was like, it goes like Hechicero's finisher, the Mad Scientist Bomb, but just like flipped over into a moonsault where both guys fall down. And it was used as like an offensive move. It made perfect sense. Even Lance Storm would approve.
And then there was like a double Buka Storm, kind of like when two guys took it. Was it two guys taking it once?
Yeah, two guys. They just like a double boom right on the guy's head.
Yeah.
Crazy spot. Belial did his Topes Suicida right through the first and second rope.
Yeah.
Very fast.
They had to fix the second rope after the first match, but they didn't have any problem with that.
The ropes were pretty good. The ring was fine.
Yeah.
The finish was crazy. It was, Belial did a top rope Frankensteiner on inverted Frankensteiner on Guajardo.
That was just a bad
both
landing.
Guys basically landed on their head. Mm-hmm. Thankfully, they were both okay.
They were down for a while, though.
And at the same time, Ares basically, from a downed position on the mat, he hooked his opponent, Lobo Lafayette, for a pump handle, like pile driver type move.
Yeah.
Picked him up basically from the mat, which is a big feat of strength. Mm-hmm. And then, like, I can't even describe it. I'm going to put up the YouTube video, so it'll be much better than our descriptions. Yeah. But he spiked him.
Yeah.
Very cool looking move. Somebody better steal that.
Yeah.
And that was a good match. I loved it. I mean, that was the first of three straight excellent matches.
Yeah, I thought so. What do you think?
I really enjoyed that one. It was basically a really fast-paced match, and there's, you didn't really have time to, it's spot after spot after spot, and if you like that style match, you would definitely enjoy this one.
That's what the crowd came to see. Nobody had any complaints.
Yeah, the next match was even more that way, which is spot after spot after spot. That was the four-way tag match.
You're going to be okay here with the names?
Let's see if you can remember the teams.
I remember, oh man. Now you're fucking with me, that's good. Okay, I know the Fulgors.
Yes.
One and two, because they're my best friends.
Yes.
And then I know Maverick and... Maverick Benji and Psycho Kid.
Correct.
I got that.
The two unmasked guys.
Then you had the local guy, it was Angel Rebelde Jr. and Astro Ray Jr.
Correct.
And then the leftover team was, you got to give me a hint now.
We had, I think, one local and one Chilean mask guy.
Help me out here.
We have Karma and
Castigador.
Yes, because they were chanting Casti for him.
This match was bonkers.
Yeah.
I don't even know. It's like describing a PWG match. You just can't describe what these guys are doing.
Yeah, at one point when Karma and Castigador were brawling with Maverick and Psycho Kid outside the ring. Other Fulgors were fighting the other team, and I had no idea where I was supposed to be looking at.
There's nowhere,
And then all of a sudden, you look over in the corner, and Asher the Plot is coming off.
Asher Ray Jr.
is coming off the entrance thing.
I noticed they did basically a dive train where a couple guys looked like they were going to kill each other. Yeah. The Fulgors did an awesome spot where, one of the Fulgors picked up another for a vertical suplex, held him in the air, and instead of... No, he did it to Lobo Lafayette, right?
No, he's not in this match.
Okay. No, not Lobo Lafayette. Angel Rebelde Jr.
Yeah.
Where, like, and then he, instead of suplexing him, he ran and just threw him to the floor onto a bunch of guys who were standing
there. Oh, yeah,
there.
That's right. I was crazy. Like, what they were, it just didn't make sense what he was doing until he started doing it. And then, it, like, oh, no, you're actually doing
you're
that.
You're actually going to throw him on his head? Oh, okay, go ahead. Like, what the hell? And then it was after the dive sequence where I saw Astro Ray Jr. basically ran away from the match.
Yeah.
And I thought maybe, oh, he got hurt. Because no wonder a bunch of guys were trying to kill each other. And then as the guys were brawling and some guys were bleeding, I looked over and I noticed that there's this fucking, there's this guy standing on top of the entranceway. Yeah. What's he doing up there? And I realized it was Astro Ray Jr.
Yeah, I pointed to him like he was Superman.
Yeah, he was just hanging out up there and the match continued with him standing up there, basically. They did the spot where they, it was the Brainbuster was before the Brainbuster was after the dive. This was where they did a dive over the ring post, which led to the guys going up the ramp.
Yeah.
And then Astro Ray Jr. did the Aerostar backwards dive off the top of this ramp. It was one of the most insane things I've ever seen live.
Was it Maverick or was it Psycho Kid who did that crazy, like, backwards dive off the...
Maverick.
Yeah.
I think it was Maverick.
That was crazy, too. That looked...
Yeah,
He just kind of put himself out there and hope he would find someone.
There was a lot of near death in this match. Like, these guys are lucky that they made the bus ride back.
Yeah, the Fulgurus did their dropkick variation of the Doomsday device.
Fulgur smash?
Yeah.
Fulgur 1 also did his, like, Atlantida into where he spins and does the double knee smash.
Yeah.
You can check my YouTube. Awesome move.
And then there was that Brainbuster spot. Who gave the Brainbuster?
I know Fulgur 2 took it, and then it was, I'm pretty sure it was Psycho Kid who did it. I'm not sure, positive, but they did the generic go top rope Brainbuster, and Fulgur 2 took the Brainbuster on the top turnbuckle and went straight down to the ground.
Yeah, he turned over, but he landed, and he hit the apron.
He missed the apron.
He missed the apron. And
I'm going to put the video on YouTube.
And he hit, like, his feet and his ankles really hard on the ground.
There's basically no safe way to take that move.
Yeah.
And he took it as dangerous as possible.
Yeah.
Like, I guess the idea was for him to land back in the ring, but things don't go according to plan in these type of matches.
So the eliminations went the Astro Angel team.
I'm surprised they went out first.
Yeah. I also was confused because they both got pinned and then it turned out to be one person per team the rest of the way.
No, because the next elimination was like two guys at once, wasn't it?
Was it? I have Karma and Castigur.
I think they both got pinned.
Okay, I only saw Karma get pinned. That's why I was confused.
Like at the same time, though, after a double team move.
And then the Fulgurs lost to Maverick, Benji, and Psycho
Travesty of Justice.
Yeah.
Awesome match.
Everyone was pretty good.
They got money. The previous match got money, too. This match got money also.
But they... Actually, I think the previous match got money. Did it?
They did.
Yes. Yeah, it did.
They were collecting money.
Yeah. Because I thought they deserved money. I was watching that thinking that if they were in IWRG, they definitely would have got money.
No, this match... Four matches in a row got money here.
Yeah.
This match was excellent. I hope they put it up on YouTube. So much fun to watch live.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Hopefully.
One of my favorite matches so far on this Mexico trip. Might be my favorite. I'd have to look back and look over what we've seen because everything is such a blur. Before we started this podcast, I actually had to ask, did we go to see a show yesterday? Because I couldn't remember.
Yeah. What did you think of the match?
Insane.
Yeah.
Great. I mean, there's not... Rob covered most of the... a good number of the more memorable spots, but there's probably like... way more from that match that you could point to, and it's just,
this is Chilanga Mask, that type of match.
Yeah,
correct. From there we had the Impulso versus Fuego Latino match.
Fuego Latino is a very good local wrestler. I've seen him in some videos from Querétaro. He's definitely one of their young guys, and I would guess he impressed you tonight.
Yeah, he was good. I think it seemed like though Impulso took more of the match than he did. Or maybe I just...
He got the head start, though. He did that awesome
ring
post. Moonsault over the ring post. Holy shit, that was awesome.
Yeah, because Impulso dropped, picked him off the bell, tried to charge him, missed, hit the post.
Straight to the floor. Ring post moonsault.
Yeah, that was...
This was false count anywhere, by the way.
Yeah, and they made use of it. They did falls everywhere. Impulso did the Michinoku driver on the ground right in front of us.
Awesome.
Only a two count. Referee was having a long night.
It's a hard floor. The yeah. sound that these guys made when they hit the floor.
Yeah, it's wood. Sickening. The ring is slightly softer than, I think, Arena Mexico, but not as much as IWRG.
No. There didn't look like there was much give in this ring.
Yeah.
This was the match where Impulso gave Fuego Latino the pump handle pile driver type move.
Yes.
And I swear he did not tuck his head. It looked like...
Yeah.
Surely he was paralyzed, but somehow Fuego Latino survived.
He kicked out and kept going. Impulso eventually won with the splat, with the big splash to the floor.
Big splash to the floor. But I mean, they did a ton of stuff before on the floor. Fuego Latino did another corkscrew dive. They did suplexes on the floor. They did a bunch of cool near falls. They did that move that I described where he almost got paralyzed.
Mm-hmm.
It was a very good match. It was much better than I expected going in because I was thinking. I don't know what I was thinking. I just thought that it would be a couple dives and then they'd go straight to the Impulso splash. But they worked a very good match up to that.
Yeah, I thought so. They get money thrown in. Yeah.
Fuego Latino needed some time to recover actually after the match.
Yeah.
I cannot imagine it's fun. As we always talk about how Impulso's killing his knees by doing the splash every match, but we don't even talk about the guys who take the move. Mm-hmm. You're basically letting a guy land on you from so high up. It's gotta hurt.
They tried to do stuff over the microphones after the match, but the microphones weren't working.
No microphone.
I think what we ended up is Impulso challenging Fuego Latino for a title match at some point.
And Fuego Latino said he'll only accept it if the crowd wants it.
Yeah.
And the crowd said they wanted it. And then I didn't catch what Impulso said afterwards.
Yeah, I have no idea when that would be happening, but it's probably not coming back here for a while. Because they've got... It's not that there's anything wrong with it. It's that they're running other places, I think, next.
Yeah. You guys, any thoughts?
Fantastic. Yeah. So far, you know, that there's nothing can prepare you to like match after match after match.
The match quality tonight was incredible. Just
good match.
Yeah. No time to breathe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and what Bob was saying about the sound of the ring and the moves against the floor, and what Cup said earlier with the crowd making all that noise. Imagine. Boom, on the floor.
Yeah.
That echoed pretty well.
Yeah.
This was definitely, like, live. I mean, amazing. Better than watching it on... I don't want to say it again, because they'll get mad on if we say that on the podcast every time. But incredible experience live. They say, like, some promotions, they do matches, like, they'll do a big match, then they'll bring it down by putting out two guys to work a slower match.
Yeah.
Chilanga Mask is just go. Every match, do what you want.
Yeah.
And no, the crowd loves it. That's what the crowd wants to see.
Yeah.
I mean, if they put a match to calm the crowd down, the crowd would shit all over it.
Yeah. And the crowd was just into everything. I think it helped that you had pretty much a local person or team.
Especially in
everyone. And the next one was the biggest thing. The Drabecks, Uno Lindos versus Trauma One and Steve Payne.
They announced them as Steve Payne, even though on the poster it said La Anarquista.
They called out La Anarquista to start the introductions, and he never showed up. And then he got Steve Payne last.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe he didn't even know they changed his name.
Who knows?
Because that's happened before.
This was a weird match because it had a result I totally wasn't expecting.
It was mostly Steve Payne being like a complete jerk during the match.
Yeah.
And like annoying the local guys.
Yeah.
And the local guys are usually, I believe they're usually Rudos. I may be getting that wrong.
Yeah, they're usually Rudos.
But the crowd was totally behind them as their hometown team. One of them put on a local soccer jersey before the match just to make sure everyone knew which side they were on.
The lady in the front row, the older lady who was Rocky Santana's wife, she was heckling them with the funny, she was basically, the whole crowd was chanting for Querétaro.
Yeah.
So she was like, Querétaro, Querétaro, we love you, except you two. Two guys surrendering. The Drabecks. I thought that was hilarious.
Yeah.
This was the match where the drum got introduced.
Yeah, the drum got used in the brawl that happened during the match. I think it was a lot of... It wasn't as many moves as the other matches, but it was a lot of hard chops and a lot of...
We got some of the trauma mat work early on, but then it became a Rudo brawl.
Yeah.
Then Steve Payne missed the spot off the ropes.
Yeah.
And then the technicals, Drabecks, they fought back using the drum to beat on Payne. And... Then they did a couple cool spots. One, I think it was Drabeck 2, did a couple cool spots with Payne in the ring.
Yeah.
Took him out with a plancha. And then, much to the shock of everybody, I think, tell them what happened.
The Trauma 1 took the loss.
Yeah, it was clean.
Yeah.
It was
off a cradle DDT, I think, or something like that.
Brutal cradle DDT.
Yeah.
I had no idea. I was shocked.
Yeah. Trauma 1 does not lose too often. And I mean, it was a decision the crowd wanted to see.
Most the crowd popped huge.
Yeah.
The glitter all throughout the
Yeah, air. Woman across the ring from us jumped up and threw confetti in the ring for no apparent reason. It was there the rest of the night, and it got onto the main eventers' backs.
My question for you is, what if they lost? What was she going to do with that glitter the rest of the night?
Did she have that ready for, like, every match? Was she going to use that if...
one way or the other, she was going to use that glitter.
Yeah.
What do you think of the match?
Yeah, I thought it was good. Does another one get money thrown
another
in?
Another one got money.
I'm just having trouble remembering matches at this point, but I thought this was a pretty good match.
Yeah. It was sort of I was going to use the word calmer, but it really wasn't calm, but it was sort of less insane than the previous three.
It was definitely a change of pace.
Yeah.
I think looking back, this probably should have been the main event. Considering the way the show ended, I can understand why the show ended that way, but this was the match crowd. This piqued the crowd's interest.
Probably.
The final match of the show ended up being Black Terry and Irobori.
Who were tied 1-1, right?
Yeah, in previous Triangle Mass matches, they were 1-1.
So this was supposed to be the deciding match.
Yeah. And they were angry with each other from the start. Irobori, refused the handshake to establish himself as Rudo. And Black Terry hit him very hard many, many times.
Oh, they slapped the fuck out of each other. It was awesome.
They seemed very, very upset with each other during most of the match, which is kind of the idea at this point in their feud, but it came through strong.
I liked it. I mean, they brawled a lot. They went on the floor. I guess this was another no DQ match because they weren't counted out or anything, but they brawled in the Well, until the end. Excuse me, but...
Spoiler.
They hit each other into the ring post. Suplexes on the floor. They got thrown into chairs right in front of us, making us run for our lives.
Yeah.
They did a... Irobori tried to do a sunset flip bomb to Black Terry on the floor, which wasn't going to happen because nobody that age should be taking that bump. But instead, they worked in the spot where Irobori ended up jumping off the apron for Frankensteiner, and Black Terry is like, no thank you, just powerbombed him right on the floor.
Yeah.
Sickening thud.
It was that right that led up to the finish then?
Yep, that was leading to the
finish. Yeah, because they fought strongly on the floor and were grabbing chair and holds as they got counted out for...
They had like a submission on the floor while they were being counted out.
Yeah, and they got the 20 count for the double count out, so...
The crowd chanted, una caída más, cinco minutos más.
I thought we were actually going to get one more.
I thought so too, because for a 1-1 thing, it was weird that they were going to do a double count out, but...
I thought that was even the spot set up so that the promoter could come down. The promoter was great to us, so I don't want to criticize him. But
it seemed like the most logical thing, but this was the first instance in wrestling history where the promoter didn't want to be the center of attention.
Yeah. So
I can't even believe it.
They kept fighting for about 3 or 4 more minutes after the double count out.
The crowd was into the post-match brawling.
Yeah. At one point...
Maybe a little more than the match, actually.
Yeah, because early on, I think because there wasn't a local guy in the match, maybe it was a little quieter, and... They tried to do, but they got the crowd into it more by the end. Black Terry ended up grabbing a chair that had been around the ring.
Broomstick, no?
And then Irobori reached in the ring and brought the broomstick. Right. And the referee took them both away. And Black Terry walked off, upset.
And that was the end.
And Irobori signed autographs for 1 billion people and sold a lot of merchandise after the show.
I would assume that they're building to their next show. Is October? It's going to be a Chilango Mask on October 20. Well, they're doing Guadalajara this Saturday.
Yeah,
we're not going to be there, but there's no Black Terry Irobori match on that show.
Right.
But I would assume that the final match will now be October 26th in Monterey, which is their next show.
Yeah, that's their plan. It hasn't been officially announced.
No, but the show has been announced.
The show has been announced, but the date does not. That's the plan for the date.
I can assume that's going to be the final match to end it all, Irobori versus Black Terry. I know Irobori's working up there that weekend, so I assume he'll be there.
Yeah, and they've got some plans for other future shows that sound really interesting if everything comes together.
Yeah, if everything comes together, actually, that'll probably end up being one of the biggest independent shows of the year if they can get everything worked out, especially when the main event gets announced.
And then promoter also talked about trying to run shows on the same weekend as the anniversary show next year, trying to do the WrestleCon sort of thing.
Right, because this was a B show for them. It wasn't their A show. Their A show was Memes Fest the other week.
I think they see it would work good if they ran on Saturday or Sunday right after the show, which you think everyone would figure out at this point. But
and we're going to hold you to that. We want to see a big show like Memes Fest.
So that was the show. I think, was that... what do you guys think? Was that the best show you've seen so far, or was that, do you have another one ahead of that?
There's a lot of shows to think about.
Yeah.
They're adding up, because we're like at, six?
Six? Well, one, two, three, four, five. Yeah, that's probably your sixth show. Yeah.
Probably if you count the number of good matches compared to the number of matches.
Yeah.
I think it's the ratio.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I think it was the best because we had three insane matches, and then nothing was bad on the show. Like the worst match was probably the first, the opener.
Yeah.
That was a pretty good match still. So
I give it like an 8.5 out of 10.
Yeah, I know other people in our group were not as thrilled with it, but I think they've seen more Trolling Than Masked Live, and so some
they're
of the
jaded.
Stuff. Yeah, some of the stuff that's new to us was definitely not new to them.
I was almost on my feet the entire show. I mean, I was on the edge of my seat. So much, such an exciting show. I mean, I was so hyped when it was over. I needed, like, I added more adrenaline afterwards, even though we were, like, tired and everything.
Yeah. So we climbed back onto the bus after the show, and we went back. And
we missed, we saw the promoter of the arena is Carlos Minas, who's a very famous person, used to promote UWA shows.
Yeah.
I wanted to get my picture with him, but he left already.
Yeah.
But just seeing him, I mean, that guy's easily one of the most famous people in Lucha Libre history.
And then Pantera was around some point after the show. The Pantera from Japan.
So he, the one who works for, this is your cue.
For Wrestle One.
Or he used to be Wrestling New Classic.
Yeah, but he moved to Wrestle One when
Wrestle One.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't realize it was his son. Oh, well. What was I going to say?
We got back on the bus.
The wrestlers were in a good move. We stopped at OXO.
This was the bus ride that people were warning us about.
But it really wasn't that bad. They were having fun in the back. We were up front.
Yeah, it was like separated. I went to the back to talk to Fulgor for a while.
Yeah.
Then he started getting into his like 15th beer.
Yeah. Yeah, we made
and stuff just wasn't making sense. So I decided I'm going to go back talk to Noriko.
Yeah, we had two different beer stops and people loaded up both places.
Yeah. There was a lot of beer on that bus, let's just put it that way.
But everyone had a good time and no one caused any problems, so.
No, we were, everybody was talking, Randy took a nap, extended nap.
I felt bad for Black Terry because there's like no one within 20 years of his age in the bus. He has no one around his.
Black Terry was dead center, it was perfect. He was like the middle of the bus.
No,
the separation.
No, his dad.
Yeah, no, his dad was the separation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because even Black Terry Jr. had a beer.
Yeah.
So Black Terry was like the separation between the non-drinkers and everybody else who was just partying.
Yeah.
We could hear chants in the back of the bus, so I guess they were doing shots or whatever.
Yeah, they were having fun.
Yeah. And
you
were writing your anniversary show preview, weren't
which,
you?
Which is just crap, but we'll go up anyways.
Scrapped?
It's just crap.
Crap. And you were talking with Oscar Manuel on Twitter, I saw. He was telling you how he writes on the bus, too.
Yeah. And then you were asking 500 questions to Noriko.
Me and Noriko had a blast. She's my new best friend. We were like two schoolgirls gossiping about everybody. I was telling her all the U.S. stuff. She was telling me everybody who's dating everybody in Mexico.
Yes.
The most.
These guys tell novella script order at this point.
I got so much information that I seriously. Has anybody seen that Married with Children episode where Kelly is studying? And when you tell her something new, something old comes out of her other ear, so she forgets something. So that was basically me. Because then afterwards, I had tried to tell everything to Cubs, and I don't know. It all slipped my mind. I'm sure it'll come to me eventually. And of course, some stuff I can't tell. You know, one cool thing was we found out that Marcella is Scotty's mother.
Yeah.
Scotty is the new luchador who wrestles there.
She had mentioned she had a daughter before. I just didn't put it together that was her daughter.
It makes sense, because everybody who comes to CML is like family.
And then we found out that I don't think we can go into the story, but we were 100% completely wrong with the situation with Princess Blanca's retirement.
Yeah, Princess Blanca is not pregnant, let's just put it that way.
That's definitely not the issue.
Yeah, she's just done with Lucha Libre.
Yeah.
No mas. And we found out Lady Apache used to be the boss of all the CML women, but when she left, I'll give a dramatic pause here. Guess who runs the division now?
No one listening cares, but go for it.
Sure they do. Yeah. Alfredo Esparza is huge in all this.
Alfredo's given up by this point.
Tiffany is the boss of all the women, basically. She runs things. She gives out orders and everything.
By massive coincidence, she's on the anniversary show Friday.
Ah, surprise.
Yeah. So, yeah, you gossiped. I wrote a little bit. Watched.
I kept going back to you to ask you random tidbits that
yes,
I forgot.
I'm,
or who else do you want to ask about? Who else? Oh, we found out Bronco, who used to wrestle in CMLL.
Yeah.
And everybody wondered where he was. He works in one of Super Astro's restaurants as a cook.
Oh, that's who you said. I couldn't tell what name it was, but I wasn't going back again.
Yeah. Bronco works as a cook in one of the restaurants for
yeah.
Super Astro. So that explains his absence.
Yeah, Rob had me make a list of random names I could remember.
It's all coming
could,
to me now.
Yeah.
Diamante married Sombra's sister,
yeah.
And now he lives in...
In Torreon.
Torreon, so
yeah.
he just wrestles locally.
Yeah.
The other Soberano wrestles locally, and he doesn't come to DF anymore. Anything else? You weren't there, so you wouldn't know why I'm asking.
Yeah.
Basically, just...
But Noriko had a good time talking to you about all this stuff.
Well, Noriko was having a blast.
Okay.
Yeah. And then the fun part was, like, about 30 minutes from when we got to our destination, some guy in front of us, where I thought the promoter was, where Danny was sitting,
yeah.
All of a sudden this guy's head pops up.
Yes.
Who's not Danny.
Yeah.
It's just some dude. And he's like, how did you like my match tonight? And I just looked at him, and I looked at Noriko, I'm like, who is this guy? I literally did not know it was Arrow Boy.
Yeah.
But it turns out it was Arrow Boy. So I said, yeah, I like this match, and then he called me out, because I used to make fun of him and Violento Jack for doing hardcore matches. And I used to make fun of, I don't know if you guys remember on my YouTube, I used to post video of the DTU guys
yeah.
messing up spots
yes.
and being idiots. And he basically, listen, I admire him for calling me out, you know.
Yeah,
instead
was
of just kicking my
Black
ass.
Curry before, Black Curry Jr.
I think he just didn't know who I was at first.
Yeah.
And then when he found out.
Yeah, because they were talking about
CCW
for a while back there.
Yeah.
So that's probably how you came up.
So he ended up talking to us, and he basically just asked me why I don't like extreme wrestling. And I explained to him why I don't like hardcore wrestling, but I think it has a place on the show. And we basically came to an agreement. He agrees, too, that like these shows with hardcore matches where every match is a hardcore match are stupid. And it should be saved for one match, usually at the end of the show, because you can't really follow a hardcore match. Surprisingly, our viewpoints were basically the same. And he talked about how he started in wrestling, how I asked him, you know, because I knew him back from the magazines, back when he was just a young high flyer. And he talked about he stopped flying, being a high flyer, because he didn't have trust in guys who were catching him. And he was suffering too many injuries, doing these dives and everything. So eventually he just progressed to being a hardcore wrestler, which sounds silly, but his body survived all these years. He was a big CZW fan.
Right.
That's where he got the whole...
It seems like Mexico CZW could run Mexico and have like 50 wrestlers turn out. Just
CZW, big influence in Mexico.
Yeah.
He started out... I didn't even know this, but there was a XLAW Kids that Ernesto Campo ran the group, and then the kids were like Crazy Boys thing.
Yeah.
And he basically like... They started at 10, 11 years old, Arrow Boy and Violent Jack together. They were in that class,
yeah.
along with Taz El Feroz, who is...
he's related to Crazy Boy.
He's in the Crazy Boy family, but he's got another name that's slipping my mind now, but he used to wrestle under that name.
Yeah.
I don't know why I don't know it now, but...
If you're listening, just go to Ultra Wiki and look it up, and you know it.
Yeah. So he was in that class with them, and... Now he's a teacher of classes, and he talked about all the different people that came up through the different years that they had the kids' classes.
Yeah.
Then it transitioned to Super Crazy's classes of kids, which
yeah.
produced Dinastia. Yeah.
Rocky Lobo was
there. Rocky Lobo, all those guys. Oh, Pesadilla was one of the guys in the second XLAW kids' class.
If this was Japan, we'd have these big lists of who was in every class.
Yeah.
Every year. Here, we just kind of gossip and find out a couple names.
It was a nice discussion. We were talking about the matches he wants to do, and I asked him why Mexico doesn't do scaffold matches or explosion matches.
Because they're not that crazy.
No, it's just the promoters won't pay for the equipment that's needed for
yeah.
that type of thing.
Because that kind of they're not that kind of crazy either.
But he's trying to tone it down. He doesn't want to do so many extreme matches. He'd rather do strong style now.
Yeah, I think that's the thing, is that you want to do hardcore just long enough to get your name for it, and then you get the heck out of hardcore.
Yeah. Very nice guy. I mean, considering all the shit I take online when I talk bad about hardcore wrestling, super nice guy who, he listened to what I had to say, I listened to what he had to say, and everybody learned something new.
Yeah.
That's how it should be.
Yeah.
That Nobody has to argue. Everybody should talk about stuff.
That sounds like a good experience that everyone should have, especially soon.
Yeah. Hey, you're going to get yours tomorrow.
I don't think there's anything interesting that we need to talk about for tomorrow.
Oh, of course not. You and Dorian talking. What could be special about that?
You're spoiling podcast secrets here.
Well, we're gonna tell them what we're doing tomorrow, I assume.
We're going on a tour bus, and then we're going to Tsurukiya.
But not the Lucha tour bus, just like the tour bus to go around Mexico City.
And then I can't recall anything after that point. I'm blocking that out.
So why don't you leave and I'll finish the podcast?
Yeah.
We're going to the Tsurukiya Studios.
Are you going to upload it too? That'll save me some time.
Dude, I can't even figure out my own phone, let alone this thing.
Yeah.
We're going to the Tsurukiya Studios. I'm not going to say who the guest is, because just in case he cancels, I don't want to spoil anything.
Yeah.
But it's a good guest. Everybody will enjoy it. And from there, we might have to leave early, because we're going to the AAA offices to meet with top secret people.
Top secret people just met 2 minutes ago. This is something you've told, like, at least 2,000 people in Mexico at this point about.
Listen, if it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. But it's supposed to happen.
Yeah.
And that's the plan. And then afterwards, we might go to that AAA show, but probably not. Because it's not a long distance away, but it's long enough that it might not be worth our time to be jammed into a small car and ride all the way there.
Yeah.
And back.
It's Atlacomulco.
What she said.
Yeah, you're the pronunciation guy. Come on here.
I can't remember where it is, but.
So.
Do you want to go over anything else that happened today? Because today there was like a million shows and so much things happened.
Yeah, but I haven't. Only half of the results. I know that Rush and Marco won the tag team tournament.
Rush and Marco, won the Puebla. In Puebla.
In Guadalajara, Olympico and Bobby Zavala kept their tag team titles.
Surprisingly.
In Mexico, Mephisto and Valiente set up for a title match that they were supposed to have.
The day after we're leaving, Cecilia's not going to get to see Valiente's match.
I think Cecilia, in the long run, may be happy not to see how that match goes.
If she wants to stay an extra day, I'll stay here with her.
See?
Yeah. I got nowhere to go.
I'll be out of a job if I stay on next Friday.
I think in Ring of San Juan, it was supposed to be La Parca and Dr. Wagner in a tag match, but La Parca did not.
It was supposed to be Parca and Flamita against Wagner and Trauma, or vice versa.
But then Parca pulled out because they had a stomach issue.
Yeah. I still don't know who replaced him.
Yeah, we didn't see results for that. But I know it's Cherokee, another person from Cherokee that was there. So.
Might have been Bernardo, I don't know.
Yeah.
But it looked like that was a full building.
Yeah.
So full building of disappointed people. Actually, right before you came here to record the podcast on YouTube, there's a clip. One of the guys we saw, one of the Sky Stars, I don't know which one it was, dove off the top, the fourth deck in that building.
Wow.
It looked insane. That's not even a dive or a jump. That's a plummet.
Yeah.
You got to really trust the guys that are catching you. That must have been a huge spot because it's already on YouTube, so everybody's already going crazy about it. And also, I wanted to mention, next week they set up in Guadalajara for the second time, because the first time was right before Massacre Dorado left for Japan.
Yeah.
For the second time now, it's going to be Technicals versus Kinda Technicals.
Yeah, versus Ingobernables.
Rush, Mascara, Ingobernables.
I can pronounce that sometimes, but just not at 4 a.m.
Rush, Sombra, and La Mascara against Mascara Dorada, Volador Jr. and Dragon Rojo Jr.
Or a replacement for Dragon
Rojo. Or a replacement. We'll see if he's actually there or not.
Yeah, I forgot. They did kind of tease that one before. That should be a really good match. That,
especially in Guadalajara, better crowd.
It's not anything new at this point, but the Guadalajara lineups are generally, just, on Tuesday, so much better than the Arena Mexico lineups. I mean, no offense to Valiente and Mephisto. So that will still be a match that everyone should go out of their way to see.
Maybe because they're drawing well.
Maybe for the draw, or maybe they load up the carts to draw well. I'm sure where the cause and effect goes there, but
that's one of the things that I think has gone underreported. Everybody's so quick to point out, well, there's only like 2,000 fans in Arena Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
That's all profit. Let's forget about that. But Guadalajara, if you look at the crowds last year, were putrid, just pathetic. Now, every week, full arenas on full first level.
Yeah.
On Tuesdays. And nobody seems to notice that. That's pretty good for Apollo Dantes.
Yes. I don't think we found out what happened in IWRG. Knowing IWRG, it's 3 a.m. now. They will not have it up till for another 12 hours.
Mm-hmm.
They'll have it up like 5 minutes after I do a post.
So I did notice that Oro Jr. scheduled to wrestle next Tuesday at Arena Mexico.
So that
should be his first match back, I think.
But he was supposed to be out for a lot longer. Yeah, who knows?
And he's opposite Metallico next Tuesday.
Oh, that'll be good times.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they can just try that again and pretend it didn't happen the first time.
They can do hair. Does he have any hair? I can't even remember.
He has like a buzz cut kind of thing.
Yeah. And
we're breaking Metallica Oro news, so I think we're about out of things to talk about.
No, there's never... I got so much information in my head, it's just not coming to me.
Yeah.
Maybe tomorrow.
Maybe tomorrow. Maybe we should stop before you blow out the information or not, so I'll blow it out.
I did want to say that... So I asked Noriko, who would know more than anybody, and she doesn't even know herself if Ultimo Guerrero is Gran Guerrero's brother or son.
She doesn't
like,
know.
She doesn't know what the relation is. Yeah. And she would know. Like,
I
nobody
think we
knows.
Might find out Friday. I think that might be a time where
and
people...
And she told me that there's no relation between Stuka Sr. and Stuka Jr.
Really? That's a name...
We thought they were brothers.
Yeah. I think we had information as brothers as a team for a long time.
She says there's absolutely no relation between them.
Because that same deal with Mysterioso, so maybe that just... People buy names when you're in the Torreon. I think that's it.
Yeah.
We went an hour this time, so that's far, far too long. Thanks for listening.
You kidding me? The voices of wrestling guys go 3 hours.
Yes. And
I have no good pizza stories like Joe.
I had to listen to them at 5 times his normal speed to get those done. Although they're enjoyable, I just had to get them done.
This podcast lasted as long as Joe's rant on Chikara.
Yeah, probably. I'm not good with spending more than three hours with a person, which is why I got stuck in my own row on the bus on the way back.
When you get killed tomorrow
yeah.
by the place we're going after Tercera Caída,
I'm
going to do a 3-hour podcast.
We're doing the mystery, making it more mysterious as the podcast goes along.
I'm going to do a 3-hour podcast on your legacy,
okay.
on your history.
I don't think there's... You can, I want to die to find out how you get 3 hours of that out of that. I think that's what we have.
I want to end the podcast. Tell them what Fulgor said about you.
Fulgor says I have a face that looks like I read a lot. No.
I love that. That is the quote of the night.
Yeah. Yes.
That should be the title of the podcast title today. A face that reads a lot.
It may be because I just want it's 3:23, and I think I'm calling it. Thank you for listening. Give feedback.
Anything you want us to talk about?
Anything you want to talk about? I have other posts going up at some point and sometime.
While we were at the show today, I checked my Twitter, and you posted a Fox Sports review.
Yeah. This is called getting your work done in
advance.
This is
like behind the scenes, Lucha Blog, inside information.
Yeah.
By the way, Crazy Boy does not know what Arrow Boy does not know what Lucha Blog is. He says so. He knows
despite,
Rob Piper. He doesn't know Lucha Blog.
Despite you and my hype man, not that many people know Lucha
Blog. So I'm more over than you is what you're saying.
Yes.
Awesome.
I'm saying pretty much everyone's more over than me, especially after they meet me. And then you're more over, as we've seen on this bus ride.
Because I talk more.
Yeah.
You're too quiet.
Yeah.
Or humble. I'm a loudmouth.
Yeah. So I'm going to try hit stop for like the fourth time here.
I just thought of an hour's worth more of things that I have to say.
Okay, well, you'll have to say them tomorrow. We're going to hang up now, and then I think we're doing a podcast tomorrow. It depends on what time we get back and what we have to say.
I'll have lots to say.
You'll have a lot to say. I'm not sure if I'm going to talk about private meetings on the podcast, but we'll see.
Our next show is until the anniversary show, by the way. So Thursday, we might go to Impro Lucha?
Yeah, we might sleep in at some point.
No. And we'll do an anniversary preview at some point.
Yeah. No, maybe. We'll see.
Bye-bye, everybody.
Goodbye.